Why do I still struggle with this? Why is this such a big deal to me? And I love those questions, because when you get on the other end of it, you start going, it's not a big deal. You know, that's just the way I am. And we start blaming God. Anybody ever in here heard somebody blame God for something? I just got a bad temper. That's just how God made me. Don't you put that on God. I just like the ladies. I just like the men. That's just how I am. Don't you put that on God, that you got a wandering eye and a philandering heart. Don't you put that on God. And somebody say, well, I just can't control my speech. Somebody said something, I just got to give them a piece of my mind. I'm like the old Jerry Clower comedian. You ain't got enough mind to keep doing that, amen? You need to keep some of that for yourself. I said it, I joke about it all the time. They are a bad temper. Again, temper seems like it's working fine to me. If yours is bad, I don't want to see it when it's fixed, amen? I lost my temper, same thing. If you lost it, I'd sure hate to know when you found it, amen? So we're talking about these kind of things. And typically what it is a point of stress. I'm tired. I'm grumpy. Someone's really cheesed me off. And now all of a sudden it seems like I don't know anything about Jesus. I don't know anything about what the Bible says. So how can I do this? How can I grow? How can I go forward in what's going on? Again, I just surveyed over the past 10 years or so. Pastor, why do I still struggle with lust? Some of you are going, I don't struggle. I've just given in. Why do I still struggle with dropping ugly words? And, you know, man, if I just, and then wham, and then I'm, oh, shouldn't have done that. Why is that? Why do I struggle with this is the nicest way to say it, competition between allegiances? I know I ought to be in church. I know I ought to be serving. I know I ought to read my Bible, but, man, TV's so interesting. The bed is so comfortable. You'd be surprised that maybe we just make all kinds of excuses and struggle in this area. Not just excuses, but struggle in this area. How can I do this? How in the world can I do this? How can I do this? So, some of you are like, in no way I'm raising my hand now. I really like some help. I want to live in victory. I want to see progress in my spiritual life. I need some help in some areas. Anybody besides the pastor need some help in these areas? Just a few of you here. The rest of you, pray for the rest of us, okay? You pray for the rest of us. I say that with a smile on my face. Your Bibles are open, Romans 6. And again, I really could spend months and months here. This will be my last sermon, Lord willing, for a bit. But I want to help us. I want us to see ourselves the way we should. I want us to see us the way that God sees us. And I want to leave you with, I think, one of the best punches and helps that I can think of in a real concise way to say it. So let me give you these three powerful truths. I want to lay the groundwork, and then I want to frame it up, okay? I want to frame it. Number one, as a believer, and if you're in the app here, these are all filled in for you, and you can punch those in. As a believer, I am expected to live righteously. Let me set the standard here. As a believer, I'm expected to live righteously. Your Bibles are open. Again, if you see somebody without a Bible or tablet or phone, share with them. Verse 1, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall it be that we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? The normality is that what? Man, I live right. I live right. There's no such animal as a believer in Christ in the normal state of their life is to live in a way that's shaking their fist at them. There are periods of time. There are periods of rebellion. There are ups and some downs. I'm not discounting any of that. There are times of God's judgment on your life. But the normality of the Christian life is the expectation that I'm supposed to live right. Last week, I said it like this. And again, I said it's not normal for a believer to continue in sin. Now, we typically do things in minutes and hours. Internet's ruined our sense of time, right? We click the button, and we want it downloaded now. We will walk around the building in a lightning storm in our pajamas to find better signal, won't we? People will choose a hotel based upon or not if they got really good reviews on their high-speed internet. I don't know why you go to a hotel and care about the internet. Somebody say amen. You know, you're on vacation. But anyway, people get mad at their cable company, right? And it's only downloading at 100 megabits, and I paid for 120. You know, like you can really process that many cat videos. Somebody say amen. And we're here. It's not normal. It's not normal for a believer to continue in sin. This is abnormal. You say, what's the difference in your church and some other churches in the greater Knox County area? Well, we're one of the churches, I think, that's scripturally faithful and says, man, this is not normal. This is not normal. Man, you can come to Jesus and it never change your life. That is strange to the scripture. That is anathema. Martin Luther, the great reformer, said, there is no justification, no being made right with God without sanctification, growth in grace, no forgiveness without renewal of life, no real faith from the fruits of new obedience, from which the fruits of new obedience do not grow. The old preacher said it like this: if you is what you was, then you ain't. It is not normal for a believer to continue sin. You say, well, it's been a week. And I'm not totally right. I still struggle. We're typically looking at minutes and days, and God's looking at weeks, months, and years sometimes in our life. There should be growth, but it should not be normal for everything to stay the way it was. I love Jesus, but I don't care what he says about anything. I love Jesus. I don't care. I'm just going to live however I want to. That is not normal. That is not normal at all. It is normal to grow in Christ's likeness. It is normal to grow. And this is just two things to review from last week. It is normal to grow. This is the normal part of life. And when you're not growing, you feel it. There's something strange, something that's off. Some of you, your testimony is, I was out of church. I was away from the Lord. I knew I was a believer, but I knew I wasn't right with God. God was convicting me and chastising me, and he led me here. He led me wherever it was, and renewed my commitment to God. Why? Because that's normal. That's normal in your life to grow in Christ-likeness. You shouldn't have to beg another believer to do what God is doing with them and in them on the inside. We have his precious Holy Spirit. We are the temple of God. Somebody asked me about this or that. It has to do with our body. And I don't even like the question. It's not if this is okay or that's okay. You started the question wrong. Here it is. By right of creation, and if you're a believer, by right of salvation, God owns you. You start there. Hey, preacher, can I do this? Can I do this? Or we'll do this and go, preacher, how do you like this? And I want to say, man, did you ever one time even think about the fact that it's not your body, it's his. It's not your business, it's his. It's not your family, it's his. It's not your house, it's his. We don't think that way. And one of the things that ought to help us is it's normal. It's normal to grow in Christ-likeness. It's normal to grow in Christ-likeness. Please, yeah. Powerful statement number one. As a believer, I'm expected to live righteously. And you say, Pastor, that's fine. But man, I struggle. I get ugly. Sometimes I look at the Bible, and the Bible looks at me, and we say hello and good morning, and I don't ever open it. Sometimes I go, I really want that, and I don't care. I don't have the energy and the strength. I think this is where the devil and his culture defeats us sometimes. Because we're not able, look right here, we're not able, we figure, well, that's my excuse. That's the nice young lady who'd seen, like she was her first day on the job, putting the thing here about up on my wrist and told me that my blood pressure was as low as it'd been since I'd been born, and that it was good enough. If we're not real careful, we just excuse it and say everybody struggles and everybody's got problems and everybody uses this and everybody says this and everybody drinks a little of this and whatever. Fill in that blank. I'll be here all day trying to cover every base here. Are you with me? If he commands it, wait for it, he ought to give us exactly what we need to be able to do it. It's one thing to say, I need you to go buy this and this, but I'm not giving you any money. It's another to say, here you go. Here's my card. You can spend up to $1,000. Get whatever you need. It's one thing to demand it. It's another thing to provide it. Your Bibles are still open there. He has enabled us to live righteously. Look at verse 3, Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6. Andrea, would you check, make sure those errors are on? Verse number 3, know you not, so many of us were baptized into Jesus Christ, were baptized in his death. Picture, verse 4, therefore we are buried with him by baptism and death, like as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should walk in the newness of life. What is our picture here? Our picture is Jesus Christ up from the grave he arose, and resurrection power is available to you. Like the Easter time, the Easter songs, some of those are familiar and all. We sing, up from the grave he arose with a mighty triumph over us. So we sing that, we go, man, that's so good. Man, he is alive and he rose and he defeated all the enemies and all. But I can't overcome a bad habit. I'm going to keep dropping F-bombs till I die. I'm going to keep having a wandering eye, and whatever crosses my screen or whatever crosses there, I'm going to be greedy. And we're just making excuses for things. And we say with one hand, man, God is all powerful and he defeated the death and hell and the grave and he is alive forevermore. And now we say all that kind of stuff and then we go, yeah, but I just can't. Let me help you. You can't, but he can. And he has died for you. He has his Holy Spirit. You're there in Romans chapter 6. Again, if we do this, and I may go through Romans next year. I don't know. I hadn't got that far ahead if the Lord leads me that way. But if you go to Romans chapter, just go to Romans 8 just for a minute. You got that? Flipping your phones, your tablets. You with me? I got about 12 minutes. You still with me? Say amen. Because I want to get to the application of Romans chapter 8. Verse 1, there is therefore no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. They walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. He's not saying what you should do. He's describing your present reality. Life is different now. There's no more condemnation. God's not giving you the side eye anymore. God's not giving you the skunk anymore. You have been free from Him. And what is the point of all that? Verse 2, for the law of the Spirit is life in Christ Jesus, for the law of the Spirit of life in Jesus Christ has made me free from the law of sin and death. And he is introducing a subject now about the Spirit of God. Skip all the way down to verse 8. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But you're not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If so be that the Spirit of God dwells in you. See, I don't have the Spirit of God, the rest of it. Now, if you say that you don't have the Spirit of Christ, you're none of His. The Spirit of God is His guarantee. He lives inside your heart. And He is the one who is empowering you. Say, what's so significant about Romans 8? I believe it to be the Holy Spirit chapter in the Bible. Romans chapter 8, verse 28. Lots of people who are not even in church know this. For we know that God is working all things together for good to them that love God, those who are called according to His purpose. We are more than conquerors in Christ Jesus. All these things are the result of the Holy Spirit living with us. Say, why am I different? Because God set up temple in your body. Why am I different? Because God has given you the power to overcome. I have been enabled to live righteously. You ever seen a child or a teenager frustrated? And it may be a communication thing. I usually tell stories where I end up looking halfway decent. Let me tell you a few where I'm just rotten. Can I do that? Is that okay? I don't know how many times I have jumped one of our kids when they didn't have any clue what I was talking about. I'd say something, thought they heard me. Now, there's several times I jumped them when they said they didn't hear me and they did hear me and they were lying and God will get them. But, man, as I've gotten older, I think I've told them some things and I haven't even whiffed it by them. Andre would be in the background, you know, like a catcher at a baseball game going, you know, which means tread lightly. And I go back and I'm like, why do you do this? You didn't tell me. Dad, I couldn't do this. Then I get the great joy of the dad going and apologizing and getting on my knees and asking for forgiveness, depending on what it was. But that look flashes in their face of frustration. It's bad. Some of you have seen people walk off a job because they were so frustrated with a supervisor or a coworker, and they went, that is it. I can't do what I was hired to do. I can't do what I'm supposed to do. And you keep holding me to a standard I cannot attain. Let me help you. If you are frustrated in your walk with God this morning, it is not on God's part. God is saying, I'm doing everything that you need to be able to live for me. Be able to live for me. You say, preacher, you keep saying righteously. You still with me? Say amen. You keep saying righteously. What is that? What are you talking about? That's an unfamiliar word to me. Let me illustrate it with the negative. Go to Romans chapter 1. Go to Romans chapter 1. Excuse me. Go to Romans chapter 1, verse 18. Verse 18, the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men. When we're talking about righteousness, maybe it's helpful again to illustrate it with a negative here. Ungodliness is wrong view toward God. This is any idolatry. This is any blasphemy. This is any wrong view of God. Say, how do I know if I got a wrong view from God? If it's not from the pages of the Scripture, it's a wrong view of God. It's if it's not part of His self-revelation to us. And any ungodliness, somebody says all religions are the same, that is ungodly. All religions are not the same. They can't be the same. Let me help you. All religions say we're not the same. All religions say that's offensive. You find a practitioner of Buddhism. You find a practitioner of Confucianism. There we go. And I was saying it by the creator's name or the originator's name. Not that you find and they go, no, we're not all the same. We're not even trying to be the same. All religions are not the same. Anything unrighteousness is anything that I do horizontally. I shall have no other gods before me. I shall not make unto you any graven images, idolatry. You shall not. And then he starts with what? Honor your father and mother. I shalt not kill. I shalt not steal. I shalt not bear false witness. And he'll extrapolate on that into 613 of them. Some of them only applied to the Jews. Some of them only applied to agriculture and things like that. But over and over again, God is demonstrating to us what is holy and righteous and what is not. And the problem is we're great at being unrighteous. We're great at breaking his law. Who hold the truth in unrighteousness, literally suppress it. They see from general revelation who God is a little bit. They see he's awesome and almighty and infinite. And they say, you know what? Nope. I don't like that. And I will party my way out of that. I will drink my way out of that. I will study my way out of that. I will do whatever, idolatrize my way out of that. I will suppress that. Because skip all the way down to verse 21. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became evil or wicked or empty in their imaginations, and their foolish heart were darkened. No such animal is a good lost person. Just not the case. They may not be as bad as somebody else, but they are what? This is the road they're headed down. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. They changed the glory of God and the uncorruptible God to an image made like an incorruptible man, to birds, four-footed beasts, and creeping things. Parents all the time being careful, monitor their children, particularly stuff coming from other countries, because it is nothing but blatant idolatry and animism, and they're taking that which is almighty and they're reducing it down into corruptible things, and they're introducing the slow boat there. And we've had to be careful even as our children gotten older, and I had to be careful in my own view and habit, because this is pure paganism is what it is here. Verse 24, wherefore God gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts to dishonor their own bodies between themselves. When the end of it, you begin to see it in sexuality. And what they say, I have my own body, and I'll do whatever I want to with my own body here. And they change this. Skip all the way over verse 27. Verse 28. Even as they not like to retain God, their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do the things which are convenient, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whispers. Sounds like everything that's on Netflix right now. Backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers. That's why we need so many lawyers here, without natural affection, implacable and merciful, who knowing the judgment of God, that which commit things are worthy of death, not only do the same, and here's our world down, but have their voyeurs, but they have pleasure in them that do them. The whole idea of voyeurism. See, what is unrighteousness? I give you Romans chapter 1. It sounds like the people I know in the world that I live in. Yeah, and it's been that way since man fell in the Garden of Eden. So what is righteousness? I get that. I'm good at that, or I used to be good at that. Righteousness is now I get to please him. Righteousness is now what Christ has offered to me. We looked at that word reckon or impute last week. Righteousness is now when Jesus died on the cross and bled and died for my sins. All the awful stuff that's cataloged here. He did what? He said, I will give you my righteousness. I will put in your account everything that you desperately need but do not have. And I think that's a better definition of grace. That I have provided. Give that to you and forgive you. That's relational. And I will justify you. That's legally. And I will make you a joint heir. That's adoption. I will put you in as an adult member of the family. I will do that for you. Help you live right. I'm going to give you my Holy Spirit, who's going to dwell inside of you, and you're going to be in me, in Christ, and he's going to work through you. He's going to convict you. He's going to encourage you and enable you, and I'm going to give you everything. And now you don't have to worry about how God sees me. Because when he sees me now, sees you now, he sees you with my righteousness. He sees you as my child. He sees you as belonging to me. You don't understand what I've done, Pastor. I may not have, but God does. And if God can catalog all this rotten stuff in chapter 1 and offer forgiveness to them, those, he can offer forgiveness to you this morning. He can offer forgiveness to you. You say, I just don't measure up. That's great, because none of us do. But he measured up. And he satisfied the Father's wrath and justice. And he offers to you to be made exactly right with him. Now, I'm positionally right. And I'm practically right. I am familiar. I am all those things that I made right with God. And now I get to please him. I get to please him. As a Christian, I'm excited. I'm excited. I read those verses to you. You're back in Romans chapter 6. I got 3 minutes, 2.5 minutes. You still with me? Say amen. Being made free from sin, Romans 6. Become servants to God, verse 23. You have your fruit to holiness, the end of everlasting life. For the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Where was I, Andre? You and I were together. Oh, I remember now. Never mind. Didn't matter where I was at. Somebody came up to me, knew me from a decade ago. And they just effusive. Shake my hand, all this stuff. And I laughed at them. And they said, they kind of face changed. I said, no, you're fine. It's just funny. And they said, wait. I said, I know who I am. I'm Pete and Faye Sud. I rode a bus to church. I appreciate it. It's really nice. But I know who I am. Every morning I wake up, and Andre kisses me on the cheek. Every morning, see the kids, and Allison goes to school, talk to Allison, video chat. I'm not going to do that boomerang mess or whatever that is. It's stupid. And I thank you. You're kind, but I appreciate you thinking that way, but I'm the doofus over here struggling. I got it. When you tell me that my sins have been forgiven and that King Jesus has given me his Holy Spirit to enable me to please him and to live righteously, and that I've got a Bible and I've got a church to attend and I've got a pastor to love me and to help me and other believers, and then not only that, but it's just not enough that God did that. But even now, in John's gospel, he says what? He says, if I go, I go to prepare a place for you, that where I am, there you may be also. In my Father's house, singular, many mansions, rooms. And one day I get to live in the Father's house and be with him forever. And I get to please him here and to be with him forever. You got to be kidding me. I'm excited to live righteously. Somehow the devil sold us this thing. Man, if you live right and you do right and you don't do this and you follow Scripture, God's up, that you're just dull and dead. That God's up in heaven watching really closely going, okay, all right. I see Tommy over there. He looks like he's about to laugh. He's going to have some fun at the cookout today. Nope. We'll fix that. Some of you thinking, man, if I went home and took two hands and two bottles and went, psh, if I went home to the restroom and flushed it, if I went home and said, you know what, life would be a little simpler for me if I just didn't have internet. If I went home and said, you know what, every time that I hurt God's heart, I'm going to do what 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us. And the word confess, there's two words, homologeo, means say the same thing. If I would agree with God, if I yield myself to him, and I all of a sudden take ownership back and I hurt and break his heart, I'm going to say, God, that was sinful. Some of us would have a little better time. Instead of making excuses for our sins, we would be broken over our sins. And we would say, God, I am sorry for what I've done. And I'm tired of making excuses. And I'm tired of living this way. And I don't have to. I know I don't have to. And God, would you help me? And I'm broken. Broken heart and bent knees all of a sudden fix a lot of our problems, don't they? I'm excited to live righteously. Can I give you just the three punches here at the end? Romans chapter 6 tells me this. I don't know if you remember the three sentences, but maybe you remember the six words. I got a new hope. Christ died and rose again. Is there any better news in the human to the human ear? Christ died and rose again. I have a new hope. It's not about me. It's about Him. It's not what I could do. One man couldn't die for the sins of everyone, but the God-man could die and pay the penalty for every man's sin for all time, for all have sinned. I have a new hope. Say, you don't understand how bad it's been. I may not, but it can't be any worse than Romans 1. And He died for those people, and He died for you. I have a new hope. There's a new me. The old man's crucified with Him. And now I wrestle with the flesh. He's been put away. He's been buried. The picture is baptism there. And hey, there's a new me. There's a new me. I said it last week. Some of us are living below our calling and living below our raising. There's a new me. He died for me. He's given me new life. He's given me a new hope. Excuse me. And then finally, it's a new life. Fruit and holiness. Before I was the enemy of God, now I get to please Him. Before I had no hope, no chance. And now what? I'm upset when I hurt God's heart. I am brokenhearted when I displease Him. Now there's a new life. There's a new life. Some of you in here, God has changed your life. We ought to be shouting it from the rooftops. Amen. Some of you in here, man, it's so different what God has done. And your family looks at you like you have grown a third eyeball because of all the changes they've seen. He's given you new life. He's given you He has given you all these things. Man, God has done this for you. Praise His wonderful holy name. There's a new hope. There's a new you. And there's a new life. Hey, Pastor, but I struggle here. He said, reckon. He said, yield. There's a once for all yielding. There's a regular yielding. I think there's a daily yielding. But when I don't yield, I need to confess that as sin. Ask God to help me and forgive me. What would be different in our lives if we started treating sin that way? Father, forgive me. I shouldn't have said that. Father, I went back to that place. I shouldn't have done that. I was here again. I shouldn't have done that. I'm not worried about people being too sensitive to sin. I'm worried about people getting too callous to sin. And then one day they look and they're just a long, long way from where they meant to be. New hope, new me, new life. Would you pray with me right now?